Thank God for our privilege of being able to come and worship Him this morning. And thank God for you being here. Don't you just love Northview? Turn to somebody and say, I love Northview. Amen. I don't know why everybody wouldn't want to be here.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, I really don't. If I didn't believe that way, I had no business being here. But I believe that way. I really do. That we got a lot of awesome things here. I mean, if you ever took time to take the hymnals and just read what the words say, I'm telling you, back in the day, the older I get, the more I'm proud of back in the day. But I'm telling you something. They had some foundation. You know, you're talking about singing the word. That's the word. And we do that here. And I thank God for that. Communion. I'm proud of communion. I don't know why everybody would want to be here. Some people today, you mention communion, don't know what you're talking about. That's sad. Because He's the reason. You see that picture right there? Isn't that a beautiful picture? He's the reason we're here. And He's the one we worship. And I give Him praise for that today. That is not my message, but I just wanted to give God praise for that. I want to start a message today. It'll probably take a couple of Sundays or whatever, but I want to go to Psalms. We're going to deal in Psalms chapter 143. I'm going to read the entire Psalm, but it's a time, very dark time in the life of David. Be the man of God that he was, but you remember the time. Most of the Psalms were written out of caves by David when he was literally running for his life. To give you a good idea of what's going on, think about now if the president had an alt against you and was putting it all over the airways, putting your picture everywhere. I want this guy. Whatever it takes, I'm going to get him. I want him. Think about the fear that you would have to live with and the things you'd have to go through to get away from that. Well, that's exactly what was happening to David. Saul was jealous over him, and he was just after him and wanted to destroy him. So it was a very hard time in the life of David. And out of that hard time came a lot of these psalms. And as we read this psalm here today, you're going to sense and you're going to feel his pain as he questions God about some things, and he don't understand. You know, he hadn't done anything wrong to anybody. He just was David. And just being David, you offend somebody. And so he happened to offend the king. And so his life was under control, under attack. Today has been referred to in a lot of different ways as troubled days, perilous times. But one of the most familiar that we hear, these are dark days. And I hear that, and I hear that, and as I begin to hear that, I've been doing a lot of research and study lately on the end times, and I'm going to be able to share some of that with you as God develops that in me. Because I feel like one of my jobs as a pastor is to make sure you're prepared and that you understand the situations and the times that we live in. But these are dark days. And these are days that we need to understand. We as human beings have a tendency to run from things we don't know. Things we don't understand and things we don't know, we have a tendency to want to stay away from that. But I want to entitle this message is Learning How to Face the Darkness. Learning how to face the darkness. Because every one of us have to deal with darkness. Darkness is evil. I want you to understand, darkness began at the beginning of time. When God created the Garden of Eden, there was tranquil, there was peace, there was honor, there was worship every day. But Satan slid in that garden. Darkness slid in that garden. And ever since the beginning of time, there has been an attack on light. You know the Bible talks a lot about us being light. It talks about not hiding your candle under the bushel. You remember that in Vacation Bible School? I remember one time we studied about not putting your light under the candle. That's always stuck with me. But we are light. Light is revelation. But from all since the beginning of time, there has always been a war of evil and a war of darkness. And darkness is something we have to deal with. But God gave us the light. That sounds kind of elementary, but it's going to have a lot of meaning to it. We live in darkness, But we don't walk in darkness because we have the light. Alright? We don't understand everything going on in us. Evil is present. Evil is getting more bolder in this last day. And you are dealing with things. I guarantee you, if I could poll this audience this morning, I guarantee you that you're dealing with things in your life, or you have dealt with things in your life that you never dreamed you'd ever do. Are there things you see on TV today that you thought you'd never see on TV? Why? Because that's the situation of our world. So, I want us to pick up here in Psalms 143. It's David, as he reveals his heart. And I want to talk about this morning, how do we handle the dark moments in our lives. He begins in verse 1, 143 in verse 1. He says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." Have you ever been going through things in your life and you wonder, why is this happening to me? And the first thing that comes to your mind, what have I done wrong? I'm trying to be right. I'm trying to live right. I know I'm not perfect, but I'm trying. And so you begin to deal with this guilt thing. Because see, the enemy always loves guilt. The Bible says there's no more condemnation. That's what God says to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. He said, therefore is now no more condemnation. But the first thing the enemy always begins to attack you in is condemnation. He brings up things that you forgot about years ago. He'll bring it up. I've said this before. You lose something around the house, you can't find it, but you can remember something that happened years and years ago. Why? Because the enemy always wants darkness. He always wants us to be under a cloud. And here David is kind of opening up his heart to God. He begins by saying, "God, hear me." And when you really begin to break this text down, he's really praying in an atmosphere of, "God, where are you? Because I don't understand. I'm sitting in a cave, fearing for my life. I can't be normal. I can't live normal. I can't go and eat or do anything I want to do because there's a bullseye on my back. And I don't understand." Have you ever walked through that time in life when you just didn't understand and you were borderline being mad with God? Now, I know none of y'all have never been mad with God, but you know, there are times in our life we do get mad with God because we don't understand. We would like to walk in light, but it seems like there's darkness everywhere. That's sort of his attitude right now. And so he says, and enter not unto judgment. Now, why is he bringing that out? Because he's feeling like, what have I done? I've not done nothing to Saul. I've done everything I could for Saul. And he's jealous. He hates me. He wants me dead. You know, it's one thing not to like somebody, but to want you dead. You ever want anybody dead? Don't answer that. Amen. Don't answer that. And he says here, I like what he says here. He says in verse 2, "And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." See, he's got enough intellect, he's got enough of balance and principle in his life that he knows that can't nobody be perfect. God, nobody's perfect, but I don't understand why you're picking on me. Because I don't understand this. I see these hoodlums and these whatever they are, you know, walking the streets, and they got big money and got all these cars and all this stuff, and they live like I don't know what, and now you're just picking on me. Sometimes we have those thoughts. For the enemy, look at this now. Verse 3, he really begins to open up to God. He says, "For the enemy hath persecuted my soul and hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, and those that have been living long dead." I'm living as a dead man. I want to read that again. And I don't know how far we're going to get today, but I'm just full this morning because I know this is the word that God has me to give you today, because every one of us are dealing with these situations in life. Look at verse 3 again. "For the enemy hath persecuted my soul, and hath smitten my life down to the ground. I mean, I'm at the bottom, God. Beneath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. Is he hurting? Is his heart hurting? He's broken. And he's borderline mad. He's borderline, you know, just don't know what to do. And then he says in verse 4, therefore is my spirit overwhelmed in me. I'm overwhelmed. I remember, look at verse 5, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. Maybe he was thinking about right there when he was tending to the sheep and he would worship God and he would be on the hilltop and it was such a freedom. It was such a flow. See, we live in dark times, and I want you to get this right here. There's a constant battle of the enemy. There's a constant assignment of the enemy to get you dislocated from God. To get you dislocated from God. He don't care how much formalism you do. He don't care how much you go to church. He don't care how much ritualism you do. He just don't want you to walk in relationship with God. Have you ever been so mad at God and everybody else, you just want to get on an island by yourself? You see, that's always the first thing. That's always the first sign that there's a warfare going on, because you want to just get away from everybody and everything. You don't want to go to church no more. You don't want to pray no more. Am I being real? Now, y'all got to love me for being real. I'm just being real. You don't want to pray no more, because I'm tired of praying. But every time I pray, it just gets worse. God just sits there and he listens. I'm so glad. Aren't you so glad he don't judge us by what we tell him sometimes? It's like that Garth Brooks song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. Because sometimes if he did what we told him to do, we would be deeper than where we are. But it's real. See, the Bible, you know what I love about the Bible? It's real. It's where we live. It's our everyday life. These are dark days. These are days of warfare. These are days of an enemy with an assignment against you. The first man that was created was Adam, and immediately an enemy had an assignment against him. Amen. And what's so sad is, and get this now, there are people that fill in churches every Sunday. They go through the motions, and when the Lord comes back, they're still going to be in church because they're not going to be to go with Him because their heart's not right, because they don't have a relationship with Him. Just going to church will not get you saved. Just going to church will not keep you saved. You have to love Him and study His Word and pray for Him, and pray for you, and you just have to build that every day. Amen. Just being good isn't good enough. Amen. Just being good. Y'all still love me? The Bible says in the last day, every man that says, Lord, Lord, shall not enter in. And the Lord's going to say at judgment day, I don't know you. I went to church every Sunday, Lord. I did all these things. I don't know you. You never talked to me. You never went through anything with me. You just did it on your own. I'm telling you, we're in a battle. Let me tell you what one of the biggest battles is in America right now. One of the biggest battles in America right now is a state of ease. I call it lazy boy religion. They're sitting in the lazy chair, and they've got their feet plopped up, and they're watching the game, and they got everything, you know, they're doing everything they're supposed to do. Lord, I went to church this morning. You ought to really be happy. I really wanted to see that on TV, but I went to church. You should be really happy, God. Amen. Did anybody hear this one?
Yeah.
I know if all y'all left, I can't have to see you anyway. Amen. But he said his spirit's overwhelmed. I knew when I started reading this, I won't want to get very far today. But I'm just full. Look at verse 5, said I remember. Look at verse 6. I stretch forth my hands unto thee, my soul thirsteth after thee. As a thirsty land. God, I need some answers. Verse 7, hear me speedily. There we are. That's where we live. Lord, I want you to answer me, and I need you to answer me now. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. God, I'm just like the sinner. I'm just like you. You're nowhere. Do you not know that's a lie of the enemy? I don't want to get ahead of myself. But how many of you know the Bible is true? Amen. I'm at the right church this morning. Everything in here is true. So there's something in the Bible says my spirit, the Bible talks about that he's closer than a brother. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But what's one of the first things that when you're going through things in life, you feel so alone. You feel so empty. And you feel like, how do you know we talk about feelings, we talk about faith, but we still got our feelings to do with it. How many of you ever said this? I know what God's Word says, but. It says, God gets us in trouble. But I don't feel like He's with me. He's a man. I don't feel like God cares anything. I'm going to quit trying to be good. I know you know y'all have never said that. I know that. So you just get to go to churches. That's with our again. And I believe that, it is. If people go to second, I'll go to second church and let them go. They need to be here if they want to be at the best church. Amen. Amen. I'm in the pulpit and I mean that. Amen. But anyhow, where in the world are they? Verse 8, cause me to hear thy loving kindness. Boy, I love his word and I get lost in it. 44 years and I still love it. Cause me, Lord, to love you again. You know what he's saying? Give me something to work with, God. Give me a sign. Give me if I see three license plates that says, so and so, Lord, that I don't believe you. If I go through three attacks and they turn green, I'm fine with you, God. Amen. And the devil said, I'm changing life. Well, I've done a joke like that, too. Lord, help me. Cause me, Lord, to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way. Cause me to know what. Help me to live, Lord. Give me something to work with. Because I'm getting something to work with right here. I love his word. I mean, verse 8. And it says, cause me to know the way where I should walk, and I lift up my soul unto thee. Here we go. Verse 9. This is where we live. Deliver me, Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be real right here. There are some days that you just can't take it no more. Have you ever had them days you cut your phone off? You cut the lights off? You don't want nobody to think you're home. Don't even think I'm home. You put your car in the back where they can't nobody see it. And you just want to be alone. You know why? Because you just can't take no more. Now that happens. That happens. That happens to all of us. It's happened to me. It happens to you. You just want to throw that phone far as you can go. Because I think if I hear one more problem, if I hear one more complaint, if somebody comes and pulls one more thing at me, you know what y'all do? You give it. And then you just give it out. Amen? You want somebody to give to you. And you just need that. So, God understands that. And he says, Lord, deliver me. Verse 9. Deliver me, Lord, from my enemies. I flee to thee. Hide me, Lord. Verse 10. Teach me to do thy will. For thy spirit is good. Lead me to the light of righteousness. Quicken me, O Lord. Verse 11. For thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And then verse 12. And of the mercy, cut off mine enemies. Destroy all them that affect my soul, for I am thy servant. And I'm telling you what, this man here is pouring his heart out, and every one of us can identify with it. Because darkness is all around us. And darkness comes in many different ways. But God said He's the light. And He's given us the light. When God refers to light in the Word, it means revelation. God, there's nothing that we go through that God won't give us revelation how to get through it. There are times we want to go around things, and God sends us right in the middle. And we don't understand that. Because we feel sometimes that God should bring us out of that. Or He should deliver us. This man is saying, God, deliver me. God, I'm tired of this. I can't take it anymore. You're going to deliver me. And when he got done praying, he still sat in the cave. What do you do when you pray? You do all those things and your circumstance seems to not change. Because we feel like that if we pray and God immediately is going to change the circumstance, but God has a lesson for us to learn. And that's what we're going to study in the next week and possibly the next week about darkness and how it comes in many, many different ways in our life. And the Bible tells us to learn how to face darkness. Many of you got fears and things in your life right now that are unanswered. And the human nature of us does not want to deal with it. We don't want to deal with things we don't understand. We don't want to deal with people we don't like. We don't want to deal with situations we don't like. We, as a human being, want to run. And that's a big amen right there. But I'm telling you, God says, sometimes I'm not going to take you out of that situation, but you're going to be with me in the fire. You remember the three Hebrew children? They were thrown in the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and a billy goat. You ever heard that? Shadrach, Meshach, and a billy goat. But anyway, they were all three in the fire, and they said, you know, these men are going to die. They're going to die. As a matter of fact, the guards that took them to the fire, it was so hot, they lost their life. But there were three men in the fire, and they did not lose their life. And all of a sudden, the king rises up. He said, there's four people in the fire, and the one is likened to the Son of God. Sometimes we go through the fire, and we do not understand why. But God is wanting us in those times to listen to Him, because He has the answer. We don't have the answer. And we're going to learn about that. That's one of the biggest things we're going to learn as we make this study. Because my time is gone this morning. But God wants us to understand salvation is light. And God wants us to deal with the dark things in our life. Every one of us right now have dark things in our life. It's called life. It's called the world. It's called situations. And we have to deal with darkness. But I want to say this to you. God has given you the victory over the darkness. We just celebrated last week. Our God was hung on a tree. It was dark. It was dark. Even the Bible talks about that during the day it got dark. Darkness came into the world and darkness said, we won. We rule. But the Lord that was hung on that tree was put in a tent. While he was in the tent, he went down into the darkness. And from the beginning of time, there had been a place called hell that the enemy ruled. It was darkness. It smelled. It was wickedness. It was filth. And he ruled that. But for the first time in history, all of a sudden, during that three-day trip, for the first time, there's a glimmer of light. What's going on? What's going on? And all of a sudden, hell got quiet. And that light got brighter. And it got brighter. And it got brighter. And finally, all of a sudden, the great man was standing before Satan and says, you got something that belongs to me. Give me the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Now! And he took back the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he says, listen. you're defeated. From this moment forward, you're defeated. And every time you come back, you guess what? With your mind, the enemy, you are defeated. We serve a risen King who is Lord and Master and Almighty God. There's nothing like unto Him. He never lost the battle. He never loses. He doesn't lose. He is a winner. And you are a winner. And no matter how dark it is right now, you break open that word, you break open that prayer life, you break open that song, you throw that CD in the car, and you start worshiping God. And I'm going to tell you, those chains have got to break because you belong to Him. The last thing David said here is he distorts himself and pulls himself out. He says, I am a servant. I know who I am now. I know I belong to you, God. I can't hardly wait to share this with you because God has given me some good stuff that I just want to share with you, and I want you to understand. And the first thing we're going to deal with is we're going to learn in moments of darkness, the Heavenly Father is with you every step of the way. And we're going to learn how He's with us. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege to be able to stand before this beautiful congregation of people. Thank you, Lord, for calling you Baptist Church. Thank you, Lord, we stand here as a prophet every week, every day, 24/7. And we let this world know, we recognize to this world that we are a generation of people who are going to serve you. Lord, now I know that everybody in here is dealing with something. I know it. Some situations I know about. Some situation I don't know about. But I believe everybody in here is dealing with something. Lord, darkness is all around us. And it's making us feel at times that you are gone, million miles away. But that darkness is a lie. We are children of light. And we don't walk as the world walks. We walk in revelation of the Word. God here told you, in your own fashion, but we still bring it to us. Here in Northview, in our soul fashion, but we still read from the Word of God. And Lord, I know it's soul fashion, but we still believe in the Word of God. And Lord, we're going to stand on that. If there's 20 here or 200 here, we're going to stand on that because we're going to win. That's going to win. The Word of God is going to win. Lord, it's such an honor and privilege to be a part of Northview Baptist Church. And I'm so thankful. 50 years ago, you anointed people and put them together and they built this place. They sacrificed, they sweat, they gave this life because they had a cause and they believed in it. And Lord, we will not let them down. We will not drop the potential. We will continue in this race and we will hold the word high. Lord, in this last day, we will speak your word. In season and out of season. We'll speak up with everything and win the battle. And we know that you are light. You, God, because you expose darkness. But thank you, God, for a church that is stable and solid. And got a foundation based on your word. It's a privilege to walk in these doors. It's a privilege to be a part of such an organization. That in this last day, when everybody's given up everything and just doing whatever it takes to draw the crowd, thank you, God, for people who say, as we in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.